I wanted just to ask if any of you have any thoughts on that, about what ways that have seemed right, or would seem right, or in your life have been thought to be right, but would have ended up in death if God hadn't rescued you. What kind of a way seems right? Yes?
Yesterday, I just took it into my own hands, just so it goes along and come ready to do something.
I'm sorry, if you could come here, they can hear you. Unless you've got a loud voice like I have.
This sort of goes along with the threat thing too, but yesterday, the Lord's been teaching me really to hand every to, in all things, be in subjection. And through it all, it's been a thing of the fear of the Lord. Because if I don't, seek God in my daily life and am not trying to walk first with Him, that I do find that at the end of that day that it's been a real bad one. Well, anyway, yesterday the thing that happened, my husband told me, if he went out of town this week, that go ahead and write a check for whatever you need, you know. Well, okay, this is my current lesson. But in things that seem right, I thought, okay, well, boy, the Lord's saying, you know, go and get these few little things that you've been wanting to get, and you and the kids have been needing, and just get your list cleared out of the way, and you can think straight for the rest of the week. Okay? So I took the check and wrote it for a little more than I knew that he would have me write it for. So last night he blew up on the phone when he called, and how much did you write the check for, you know? But the thing that the Lord really, as I drove back from all my errands and had all my goodies in the car, you know, I was thinking, boy, this is great, you know, and I really am squared right now. I'm going to get before you, Lord, in the morning and have a real good, you know, clearing out of the spirit or something. And but the thing that came to my heart was, you know that Carlisle didn't want you to write that check for quite that much, you know. And when he called, it was confirmed. and this was the lesson that just really came home, was that even though it seems hard to you, that you can't have what you want when you want it, and the kids are suffering, you gave this responsibility to your husband, and that's where the Lord, you know, had that tie would have you to react in being in obedience to God through Him and to Him. And it was just really something hard to swallow, and this morning's confirmed it again.
Any other way that might seem right that ends in death? All right, a fourth one is verse 4, fourth way in which we can pluck down with our hands. It says, where no ox now, the crib is clean, but much increases by strength of the ox. I call this collecting clutter kind of hand. But only in this particular verse, it's what we call negative neatness. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. No oxen, no crib, no plowing, no harvest, no corn. And so there's such a sense of desiring orderliness, just a minute, such a sense of desiring orderliness that even orderliness can replace productive work. That we do need to be willing to have an upheaval and a mess to clean up as a price of growth. And so some of us need one lesson and some another. But I think I've found myself, it's very nice to have the children all out of the house and the house all in order. And then when all the little boys start coming in, what a... Well, that's productive and that's cleaning. Yes?
I often think, you know, this often occurs to me, when a place is a mess and everything's around, and I often think, you know, oh, what a mess. But it often occurs to me that the nicest places are funeral homes. The neatest, nicest places where there's really death, you know, and not a place where there's life, there's always a mess.
That is an observation.
I asked my little boy one day, what did he think I did when he was in school? And do you know what he said? Clean the house. And I thought, I spend too much time cleaning the house. What's he going to remember? That I had a clean kitchen, that I had time to play with him outside, or that I had a clean floor, that I had time to read him a story. And that really made a difference when he told me that all he thought I did was clean.
That's true. And it's so interesting, the things that that mean so much to the children are not always the cleaning of the house. It's an important part, but it's not to be the priority. Oh dear, and I listen to what I'm just going to say. This is the time of year when we spring clean. And in terms of this way of using the hands, collecting clutter, I think it's a time for us to look into our houses, not into our literal homes, but into the houses of our lives, and see where we have clutter that we need to do some spring cleaning. And one of the ways in which I think we need to do some spring cleaning is found in verses 8 and 15, where it says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways, but the folly of fools is deceit." And in verse 15, "The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." What on earth are you talking about? Spring cleaning and using those verses. I think we need to spring clean in our spiritual houses and think through, at this time of year, it's a time for cleaning. Are we cluttering our lives with other than God's priorities? What are the priorities in our lives? Both of these words relate to goings. It's a wonderful thing to find out God's priorities, and this is a real area in my life that I struggle with, because there are so many, many demands on our time, many invitations that come to us, and we really are having to always weigh, what is our top priority, Lord? What is the best investment of whatever service you would have us give? In this place or that place, with our family, our church, our fellowship groups, and other communities where we get invitations. And one time recently, we had an invitation to go to a group in Williamsport, and I really struggled because I didn't feel right to accept it in view of the many other commitments we'd had recently. And finally, I lived out my leading from the Lord to say no, fearing and with a prayer that the people concerned would not be too disappointed or upset by this. And sure enough, a letter came back, very praising the Lord, but showing clearly that there had been it had been a blow to them. But God's way is perfect. And when we really seek his priority and he gives it to us, he confirms it. And I had another telephone call just this week, thanking me for being obedient by not going to Williamsport. I remember the day. It was a day where in this house, because I wasn't there, I was home. And home with my husband. And we had a wonderful breakthrough blessing, which Dad confessed to the fellowship that Saturday night, at something that in our own lives had been a deep struggle. And because we'd had time to really minister to the Lord and with one another in prayer and so on, I believe that all set the whole framework. It was a beautiful day at home and a lovely fellowship that evening. But I was conscious that I was doing all this rather than being where I might have gone to please some other people. But what God did there was a totally wonderful new thing there. And they called and said that the Pentecost had come down in a new way, in a different way, that at last the breakthrough had happened in this area. And it had one thing set up another thing. And she kept saying to me, thank you for being obedient and not coming. I thought that was lovely. And I just praise the Lord. Our priorities. A second way in which we need to spring clean is in verse 14. It says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, with the fruit of his own ways, And a good man, or the godly person, shall be satisfied, shall be fully satisfied with the fruit of his own works. Sadness or satisfaction is the question, and it's in the matter of what are your securities? What are our securities? Where is our treasure? In some ways, it's similar to priorities. What are we putting our time in, and so on? But what is our affection? What is our goal? Where is our treasure? Are we backsliding? In other words, sliding back from our first close encounter with Jesus Christ. Think of that time in our life when you felt most close to the Lord. Have we felt a distance between him now, since then? Do we feel as close? And I think of that word, draw near to me, he says, and I will draw near to you. So this day, where is our securities? Where are our goals and our treasures? Where are we placing them? Let's spring clean and search. And a third, in verse 21, is, what is, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Where are we putting our social life, our neighbors? Are we preoccupied with trying to rise in our social standing, to make friends? Is that our purpose? Are we being selective? I remember one time thinking about my life and thinking, you know, I should be cultivating friends, in quotes. And my life is totally absorbed with a whole group of people, none of whom I would have chosen. This was before I met most of you. I thought, well, how come? I don't have any time to go, you know, social climbing and doing all these nice things. I got invited to the, the Ladies League, or I don't forget even the title of it and so on. I didn't have time for these things. I certainly couldn't accept some of these nice things in the community. I thought, but dear Lord, I wouldn't choose this one or that one. But how is it? I don't lack for love at all. I don't lack for love. It says in Romans, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. There are two kinds of oughts. I'm reading a book by Catherine Marshall. She talks about the oughts and the anys. The oughts that we have against somebody, which is an ought of requiring forgiveness. You know, if you have a resentment against a neighbor, well, then it's spring cleaning time. It's time to look into this. Who is our neighbor? Anyone that we're in contact with, or anyone in need. And do we have an ought against any? But there's another kind of ought. That's the forgiving ought. There's another kind of ought that some of us have, and that's the giving ought. An O-U-G-H-T, it's spelled. I ought to be doing this, and I ought to be doing that. We can get just so burdened down with those oughts as well. With either kind. The first is spelled A-U-G-H-T, and that is the anything, means anything, and the O-U-G-H-T means an obligation, a sense of obligation. Are we burdened? Are we feeling, oh, I ought to have somebody out for lunch. I ought to be doing this. I ought to have this, and I ought to have that. I ought to be making a dinner party. I every so often look back and think, Lord, the list is now so long, I'll never catch up. The people that I ought to have this and ought to have that, and God doesn't want us weighed down with oughts to any. He wants us to be free. And then I was speaking to him in my heart, and this is what the word gave to me. Owe no man anything. Dinner parties, gifts, and the whole works. Anything but to love one another. And my love is not shown just in one way, in the world's way. The world's way of love is chop for chop. But my way is to give my love. You can give it by prayer. You can give it by listening ear on the telephone. You can give it by a little note of love or a little kind visit and so on. Many ways of showing my love without getting encompassed with that ought. In Romans 13:8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. The Living Bible puts it this way. Put all your debts except the debt of love for others. Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. Never finish paying that debt. So if there's one way in which we can legitimately be in debt, always before the Lord, it's love. And the wonderful thing is that how do we get refunded or whatever the correct term is, always from the bank of heaven. We don't have that kind of love, but God has, and he has it to give to us. A fourth thing to check in our spring cleaning is verse 29 and 30, and that's our health habits. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And a sound heart, meaning a tranquil heart, a resting heart, is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. I think it's just a good time to be honest. We've had a demonstration. I was going to teach you this, so the Lord just gave me a teaching first, and I thank him. It's a time for us to really come back and say, Lord, it's spring cleaning time, and I'm not going to get it done in a day. You'll get worn out if you try to. You'll get discouraged and fatigued. But it's the season to start. That much I'll tell you. Spring cleaning season to start. And saying, now, Lord, I want to really have open honesty. Who is my neighbor? Where am I resenting? Where am I envying? Let me tell you something. I don't envy most people their things. That's not my temptation, as I've probably evident. I've taken a long time to get some things and have a struggle adjusting to increased things sometimes. That's in reference to our nice new look in the dining room. Doug and I, just because I said, Doug, when we retire, let's go back into a little tent. We're much more comfortable in our little, having chairs and dinette. We have to learn to be enlarged and to enjoy it. And we have. We are. We're so grateful. Now, but it was an adjustment to us to learn to receive more from the Lord. Some of us like to be poor when the Lord says you're children of the King, and I want to increase you in the Lord. But in this matter of envy, I can covet not so much things, but spiritual blessings. I hear some really wonderful spiritual blessings like Williamsport, and immediately I'm saying, I want that too. Because they had something new that I had not experienced yet. A new manifestation of the Spirit just came upon them in a beautiful way. And so, or I hear some other blessing and success in the Spirit, in the Lord, and a ministry or whatever. And immediately I can find myself just slightly ill at ease. And I think, I'm unaware, but I refuse to think about it. Then I suddenly realize I'm not quite at peace. And you know what comes? The finger of God points. Envy. Now, perhaps you don't have jealousy problems, but I want to tell you how to get rid of them, because I can speak for that. You immediately say, Lord, I thank you. Bless them and join in thanksgiving for the blessing given. Join in thanksgiving to the Lord. He takes care of that envy like that. It's erased immediately. You don't have to suffer envy. And it's such a relief not to have to suffer envy. But you thank the Lord for the blessing being given to brother so-and-so. They're going on a trip. Lord, you know we love that trip. We're giving them that trip. All right, in about 2 minutes, the other two things. The house, we purposely majored on that. And then the second was a refuge. And if you noticed in verses 26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, trusting the Lord. And his children have a place of refuge. And actually, the Lord has already ministered truth in that through some of the testimonies and some of the scriptures already given, which I listened to and marveled at the way he was blending this together. And the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So that's another a refuge. But the third is, in verse 11, the third kind of home is the tabernacle. Way back, Abraham had a tent and an altar. And God met Abraham at the door of his tent and at the place of the altar. Then Moses was given a moving tent, what was called a tabernacle. It was like a traveling sanctuary which the children of Israel could use and erect wherever they moved as they were itinerant through the wilderness. And then came Solomon, and he was given very elaborate plans, and they made what they call a temple that was exceeding magnificent, according to the Old Testament way of putting it. It was magnificent, splendiferous, beautiful, but it was made by man. God gave the pattern, but man did the making. But God's highest order and our mighty privilege is this, that in his universal loving plan, he decided not only to design a temple, to make it a living temple, but himself to abide in it permanently. And we are to be his tabernacle, his temple. We are God's temple. First, God designed each one of us, created so that he could minister to us and we to him within this body. Have you thanked God for your body? Do you treasure your body? Are you grateful that God gave you this body and that he lives in it? I was thinking of Cornelius and thinking, oh, as I lived in that story, I thought, oh God in heaven dwelling, that you so honored Cornelius. Oh my, and my spiritual envy. I'd love to have been there. I would love to be a person that you would favor like Cornelius. And then like a sort of waking up, it came to me. And God has the same gift of the Spirit that he poured on Cornelius that day, he's given to me. And he's given to you the same manifestation of a language to praise the Lord. He gave to them that day, and he's given to us. Amazing. How much I thank God for that. God designed so that we could worship him in spirit and incessantly. Because he's actually seeking for people to worship him. Now he doesn't want one temple in Jerusalem. He wants multitudes of temples all over the face of the earth worshiping him in spirit, incessantly. And then his permanent presence. One last word, flourish. In verse 11, it says, the house or the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. That word flourish means a tree bursting into bud. And as we've done in a few moments reflection, some spring cleaning, which I hope will become real in all of our lives as we take this to the Lord, as he brings it to our remembrance. Spring cleaning is just the negative side of it. The other part of the new life in the spring is the budding, the fruit, the growth, what the God has for each of us. And that's his promise to us. Praise the Lord. Oh, loving Father, as we think of your mighty word this day, we want to really thank you that we have your favor upon us, even as Cornelius had your favor nearly 2,000 years ago. That you have visited us in our houses, the houses of our lives, even as you visited him in that house that day. Oh Lord Jesus, we would be wise. We would be wise women building our houses and our homes, O Lord Jesus, and our households. And so we pray, take our hands. And we pray, Lord, that you will cause them to, whatever they do, do as unto the Lord, heartily, with thanksgiving to our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that by your Spirit, you will continue and complete your spiritual spring cleaning in our lives. And then we thank you, dear Lord, that when you empty us of those things which hinder and block, you intend to start new life. And we thank you right now for the fruit and the flourishing fruit that shall be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.